Want to bring my good friend to the show here. It's Dr. David Cohen from the University of Akron. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the show this morning. And so much talk about what is going to happen here, deportation, federal cuts going on, and President Trump and his team certainly making noise. I wanted to ask you, because Dr. Cohen, professor of political science, University of Akron, and in with the Bliss Institute for Political Education, David, what are the polls saying right now about the popularity of one Donald Trump?
Well, good morning, Ray. You know, the polls aren't looking great for him. You know, no surprise. He, you know, depends on the poll. In terms of how much he's going down. But, I mean, the direction is down. People are not really supportive of the chaos that we're seeing in just about every sector of our government and, frankly, every sector of our lives. I think where he's really lost popularity is his handling of the economy and the kind of the irrational tariff moves that he's made has really shaken the market. And, you know, there are a lot of Americans that are retired or close to retirement that are looking at their 401ks going, my gosh, you know, am I going to be able to afford this? Am I going to have to go back to work? You know, people are looking at the dismantling of Social Security, again, affecting a lot of older people and retired people. You know, people that don't want to have to worry about, you know, sources of income when they are retiring or retired. You know, looking at, you know, potentially Medicaid going away, cuts to Medicare, things like that. It's a very unstable situation, and you know, President Trump had a big advantage in terms of how people viewed his ability to handle the economy. And that has absolutely cratered a strong majority of people do not trust this president now when it comes to economic issues.
David, let me ask you this. You mentioned unstable, and there's been in place in the United States through our Constitution of alignment of checks and balances that just in case there was a president in charge, that the checks and balances could kind of keep that president kind of in line. There's been so many people questioning of what's going on in D.C. Educate us a little bit about the checks and balances and kind of why we haven't seen that so far.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, the undergirding, the foundation of our American government, our federal government, is separation of powers and checks and balances. Three, you know, coordinate and, you know, powerful branches that would, you know, ensure that no one branch got too powerful compared to the others. And one of the problems is, you know, if you have a president that ignores the other branches, and, you know, the tools to keep that branch in check, and we're talking about the executive branch, are not that sharp, let's say. You know, Congress is in control by the president's party, and they have all but abdicated their power and authority to the president. You know, one of the important powers of Congress is the power of the purse to, you know, to be able to provide money to the executive branch or cut money off. And, you know, Congress has indicated with President Trump doing things like closing USAID, threatening to close the Department of Education, that Congress is not willing to step up and prevent the president from doing that, even though these agencies were created by Congress and signed by the president into federal law. But the biggest worry is the fact that the judicial branch can rule against the president, which it did last week. The Supreme Court ruled 9-0 against President Trump in the Kilmer-Garcia case, you know, saying that the executive branch, the president, should bring this guy back. And the president is ignoring the Supreme Court. They're just simply ignoring it. And the problem is, it's the executive branch that oversees, you know, executing the law. And so when the executive branch ignores a judicial order, who is it then that enforces the laws if the administration and the Department of Justice is refusing to do so? That's where we are right now. That is a constitutional crisis, and you're going to see it continuing over the next several weeks, especially if the administration keeps ignoring the judicial branch.
With us is Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science at the University of Akron. And David, you mentioned the Constitution, and at every presidential inauguration, they put their hand up and they say, I promise to defend the Constitution. I mean, so far through the first 4 months of this presidency, it looks like they're challenging the Constitution.
Absolutely. Well, this is the guy that, when he ran as a candidate, said that the Constitution should be replaced. Okay, he and his people don't respect the Constitution, because if they did, they would listen to the judicial branch and they would heed their rulings. And they simply have contempt for the judicial branch, and that's not how our system works. Even Richard Nixon, okay? Richard Nixon, at the height of Watergate, when the Supreme Court said he had to turn over the secret tapes that he knew would, condemn him in the public's eyes and probably lead to the end of his presidency, he turned the tapes over. He didn't erase them. He didn't destroy them. He turned them over. He listened to the court. Richard Nixon resigned the presidency. This is a presidency currently that if they were in charge at that point, I'm not sure that the courts would have gotten the tapes back.
With us is Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science at University of Akron. David, I know you have contacts all over the country through your work in the world of political science. What are you hearing from Washington, D.C. right now about that city and their support for Donald Trump? Is it still there? Are they waning? What are you hearing coming out of the nation's capital?
Look, I think you're seeing, some cracks in the foundation under Trump. The key is the people in his own party, the Republicans in his own party. Are they going to continue to support him full-throated? You're seeing a few people, such as the senators from Kentucky, starting to break away from him a little bit. Right now he still has a fairly unified Republican Party behind him. And, whether that is because these people are true believers or he's ruling through fear, that President Trump could endorse a primary challenger, we don't know. But the key is you're seeing across the country Democrats, independents, and even Republicans now starting to be very, very outspoken in their criticism of President Trump, and they're worried about the economy. They're worried about health care. They're worried about people being disappeared off the street. And members of Congress, they all have one thing in common. They all want to get reelected. And if they feel that continued full-throated support for the president means that they could be risking their reelection, that may be something that turns things around.
Dr. David Cohen, professor of political science at the University of Akron. David, we've talked economics, the tariffs and everything, and certainly the concerns we have there across the country. But in the political arena, take us to where we are globally, from the EU with Germany and the UK to how China is seeing this whole situation. There's certainly a lot of different views of the United States right now.
Well, I think the world is kind of unified in just being perplexed at what is happening in the United States. The U.S. used to be, up until January 20th of this year, used to be viewed as a global leader. A country that you could rely on to keep the stability in the world. And it's very clear that we are not being viewed the same way. I mean, Europe is preparing to kind of go it alone, and not, and that post-World War II security arrangement crumbling before their eyes, where the United States would kind of lead the West in terms of creating a peaceful world after two world wars in Europe. The Europeans are pretty much getting ready to go it alone. China is filling the vacuum in terms of trade and in terms of relationships with a lot of these countries. The vision coming out of the Trump administration of what the United States is globally is a very different vision of any presidential administration, going all the way back, before Franklin Roosevelt. And it is destabilizing, not only world markets, but relationships with countries.
David, tariffs, that was a word that was commonly used 200 years ago at the birth of this country. And I'm not saying yay or nay with tariffs, but when we look at tariffs, this has certainly caused concern globally in the trade wars. Many people are saying, well, why didn't just President Trump just sit down and say, this is what we want? I guess take us what you've seen in U.S. history in regards to tariffs and how they have worked, or maybe they haven't worked, or are they needed today?
Well, targeted tariffs have been used by presidents, forever, where you target tariffs in order to protect some sort of industry within your country. What President Trump has done is he's put, tariffs on everything. A global 10%, 20%, I can't keep track of what rate it is, on every country. And then has targeted some countries, like China, some of their industries at 245%. The Fed chair, Jerome Powell, yesterday was at an event at the Economic Club of Chicago, talked about how dangerous Trump's tariff regime is, and that it could usher in a new era of what's known as stagflation, something that we haven't seen in this country since the 1970s, which is high inflation, high unemployment, and low GDP growth for the country. We haven't seen that since the terrible economic times of the 1970s, and Powell was indicating that we're all but certainly headed for a recession, and some people worry about a global depression, possibly. Tariffs, untargeted, just across-the-board tariffs, don't work. Any economist that is a decent economist has simply discounted tariffs as an effective tool. And, that's the tool that President Trump is using. And the Smoot-Hawley tariffs in the late 1920s, early 1930s, are the ones that exacerbated the Great Depression. And they really haven't been used since. And let me just very, very clearly state for your listeners, tariffs are a tax, okay? They are a tax on imported goods. It's an import tax. And the people that pay the import tax, the people that pay the tariffs, are the companies that are importing goods from overseas. And they pass on that tax to consumers. We will all pay, every single American will pay higher prices because of the taxes, the import taxes that have been levied by the Trump administration. Every single person in this country will do so. From cars to electronics to food, our country doesn't make a lot of our own stuff. Okay, we're a global economy. We import more than we export. Every single American is going to pay out of their own pocketbook for these taxes.
David, good place to end. Thanks, my friend, for joining me and taking the time to join us here on the morning show. It's always appreciated.
Thanks, Ray.